How's your New Year's resolution going? Have you gave up already? It's past the 13th, so if you make it through the 15th, I think you'll be good. The last few weeks, last week we started a sermon series called Identity. We started to talk about New Year's resolution, and I believe that the Bible gives us a way of making them, keeping them, that can be successful, that we can accomplish and feel accomplished through it all. And so last week I said that for us to start, even before we even think about what we need to work on, there's one thing we need to know, is that we are uniquely made. You are unique. There's no one like you on earth. So to live our lives based on the life of somebody else, it is a waste. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. So we need to understand first that we are uniquely made. God made you and I, and differently and wonderfully, He made us. But it's not only about the fact that you're uniquely and that you were made by God, but also that God sees you as loved. God can't help but to see you through the lenses of love, right? So many of us don't understand how God sees and perceives us to be. So we go on modifying our lives based on so many things, especially on people expectations for us, rather than really understanding that you are loved by God the way you are today. If you think you're messed up, guess what? You are loved just with all the messes that you have, right? God is a God who loves us, who cares for us, and He can't help but to see us through the lenses of love. But that doesn't escape us from understanding who we really are. There is this important thing about ourselves. There is this important concept that we need to grasp, which is self-awareness. We need to be self-aware of who we are, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly. We need to understand that. Nobody's perfect. You have heard me say this many times before. You know that here at Delaware Christian Church, there is no perfect people. We are all in the pursuit of Jesus. It is a journey, right? And in that journey, you get some things right, you get some things wrong. But there are some things that we need to work on ourselves. And so many times we are trying to work on somebody else instead of looking within, seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly, and fixing self instead of being preoccupied of helping or trying to change somebody else. So self-awareness is great. We need to look within, see some of those things in our lives that needs to be changed, that needs to be transformed, and put it before God, and today's sermon comes to you. I think so many times, the title for this sermon today is From Wish to Resolution. I think so many of us, we don't work on resolutions. We don't work on things that really needs to change in our lives. We have a wish list that we put it out there, and then we wish upon a time that it will come into being, right? Isn't that the whole, like, you know, there's a wish, and then you make that wish, and then you wait it until it comes to fruition without you doing nothing about it. So I think we need to learn how to turn our wish into resolution. There's a quote from a French poet. I won't attempt to say his name. It says this: a goal without a plan is just a wish. In other plans, a resolution, something that you resolve into accomplish without a plan, it is just a wish. Man, and for me, people just sometimes make resolution for the heck of making resolution. They just make resolution because somebody else is making, so I'm going to make a resolution too. I closed it. This week I was looking for, like, just illustration for the sermon. And I was looking for, like, people resolution. So I started reading resolution. And I went to Christianity Today, a Christian magazine. And I was thinking, like, what are some of the resolutions people makes out there? So I found this list of resolutions. So it sounds more like a wish thing list than a resolution list. But this is serious. This was a serious article about making people realize some of the things that people make as a resolution is just silly, right? So look at some of these. I'll read some of them for you, maybe four. Okay, here's go. The first one is this: I will wear a swim fins to the mall and act like everything is perfectly normal. It's a resolution. I can't. Who are you going to do that? Put some swim fins and go to the mall and ask and act like everything is perfect, right? I will look more in the mirror and make goofy faces until my face hurts from laughing at myself. It's a good resolution. I will eat pizza with anchovies. Why do I read these things? You know I can't read. You know what it is, that nasty stuff. And if you like that, you messed up. You put a connection card and I'll pray for you the whole week. And it goes on. It says, I'll eat pizza with whatever. And I will follow that up with a serving of Tums. So here you go. I will carry an open umbrella on a very sunny day. That's Laura. There you go. You get it. So many of us, we make silly resolutions. And resolutions that really sometimes don't really matter on the outcome of life. Every January, millions of people begin their year with their New Year's resolution, and they put it down, losing weight, getting organized, exercise more, eating healthier, improve on my relationships, manage my money better, be better professionally, and the list goes on and on and on. Those are the most common resolutions we see out there. We make commitments and tell our friends and families in January 1st, this year is going to be different. I'm going to make this new resolution, only to give it all up in January 3rd. But as humans, our struggle for consistency goes beyond resolutions. Making commitments we can't keep runs all through society. And they are really called wishes. If you make a commitment you can't keep, that's called a wish. The most likely reason your New Year's resolution will fail is that you haven't actually made a resolution. What you have made was a wish. On December 31st, you may decide that in the year ahead you will lose weight, read more the Bible, you give up some of the addictions in your life. Those are good desires. Those are all good things. But it's not the time to wish upon a star and hope that you magically change. It is time to decisively resolve and to change your life. I have a statement up there for you that I want you to write it down that is important. We need to make sure that we are resolving, not wishing. And I think the wish really starts with this idea of, like, you know, what do I want for myself? What is it that I desire? So many people start their New Year resolution asking the question, what is it that I want for my life in 2019? What is it that I want for my life in my future? I believe that a productive resolution will start with a different question. We got to stop asking what I and start asking a question like this. What would God have for my personal life in this coming year? What is God's plan? What is God's desire? What is it that God have for me in 2019 in my future? I think the book of James is crucial for us to understand that, because we don't really want to take God in consideration for our future. We just want what we want, and we want to see it accomplished, and then we fail, right? And then we go on blaming God. Why were you with me when I was planning all these things? And God's like, well, because you never asked me the question. What is it that I want for you? What is it that I have planned for you? God created you. He gave you purpose. I talked about that last week. Therefore, he must have some kind of interest in your present and in your future, right? So I think it is important for us to align God's will with our lives. This is what James chapter 4, verses 13 and 17 say. I'm reading from the Voice. It's a new version of the Bible. I really like it. It's really simple to read. This is what it says. Listen carefully, those of you who make your plans and say, we are traveling to this city in the next few days. We stay there for 1 year while our business explodes and the revenue is up. The reality is, you have no idea where your life will take you tomorrow. You're like a mist that appears one moment and then vanishes in another. It would be best to say, if it is the Lord's will and we live long enough, we hope to do this project or to pursue that dream. But your current speech indicates an arrogance that does not acknowledge the one who controls the universe. And this kind of big talk is the I can't read that word. How is that epitome? Explain that to me. An epitome, right there. Epitome. Now it makes more sense. Epitome. Epitome. Yeah. And this kind of big talks is the of evil. Ah, tongue tie right there. So if you know the right way to live and ignore it, it is sin. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. See, so many of us, we're just saying like we are arrogant, right? I know how to live life. I know how to live my life. I know the plans that I have for me, and I know how to get it accomplished. And God, through James, is telling us like, stop being arrogant. Stop. Don't be arrogant. You are encouraging evil to happen on earth. Stop it. A better question to be asked is like, what is God's will for me? Will I live long enough to pursue this? Only God knows. So therefore, it is very important for us, for you and I, to rely on God and to align our will, God's will, with our plans, so to see our future being prosperous. We are pursuing dreams and doing projects that God is not in it. And then we fell and we asked the questions, why have I failed? So we need to start turning our wishes into resolutions. So that's the one point I have for you today. If you want to be successful with your New Year's resolutions, you need to learn how to turn your wish into resolutions. And this next statement is very important for you. You need to write it down if this sermon is going to ever make sense for you, ever. Here's the statement. The best way to turn your wishes into resolution is to plan. A lot of us are living our life flying by the seat of our pants. Have you heard that before? Yeah, me too. The first time I heard that, I saw the guy was talking about a girl, talking about his daughter. It's like, well, she's always flying by the seat of her pants. And I'm like thinking, what? I saw the girl with the pants and flying around, you know what I'm saying? Like, flying by the seat of her pants. There you go. A lot of us, non-intentional living. But then it goes on that every good and successful plan starts with God. You want to see your resolutions being fulfilled in your life? It must start with God. Our plans may or may not be God's plan. If we want to be successful with any New Year's resolution, we must seek God's will. How many of us have stopped and asked the question, is what I'm trying to accomplish in 2019 godly, based on God's plan for my life? Or is there only a personal preference of mine? Many of us make wishes and then use our willpower to accomplish those wishes, leading us to fail miserably. I believe that James tells us that there is a better way of doing things and being successful. James tells us that by aligning our plan with God's plan for us, God will strengthen us and guide us. And by His strength and His guidance, we then are able to accomplish the things that we have put it out there to, like losing weight and eating better and becoming a better steward of our finances. Maybe become a better employee. Maybe you're a businessman and a businesswoman and you want to become a better employer, or maybe you want your business to prosper. Maybe you want to be a better student, right? And a better spouse. So with God's strength and aligning ourselves with God and what His Word tells us about those topics will help you accomplish the things that we are put out to accomplish. there's no resolution that you would like to make about your life that is not that the Bible haven't spoken first. I see a lot of people wants to better resolution on their relationships. Well, you know what? You need a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, and everybody you choose ended up either breaking your heart or cheated on you. And the Bible tells us that there are some character of a man, and there's a character of a woman that you need to pay attention to if you want to date. There's some godliness that must be in that person in order for you to engage with that individual. Keep having your heart broken? Well, we need to start paying attention in the Word of God and say, what kind of man, what kind of woman should I be pursuing? It's the same thing with your professional life. So many of us are engaging on a profession that is not fitting to who we are as a person. Our personality doesn't match. The Word of God said self-awareness is important. But it is important for us to understand this question, what does God want for my life? When God convicts us, He also equips us to follow through with the plan. When we know we are following God's plan, then we have more strength to stick to it. Allow Him to work well beyond our normal January 3rd quitting date. When you talk about God's plan and God's will and the Bible, people are like, oh, Sam, Pastor Sam, come on, man. I'm not as spiritual as you are, man. You know, I can't hear God's voice. He's never told me what job to get or what guy or girl to date or how to be better to my spouse. It's not audible. You know, God doesn't speak to me like that. And I'm like, we make it sometimes so much more difficult than really what it is. It is in God's Word. I'm serious. There is no resolution that you can make that hasn't been spoken by God first. One that I think everybody can relate to is a physical resolution. We all make physical resolution January 1st, right? Some more, some less, but we all make some kind of physical resolution. And so I remember back in my ministries, back in the day, someone coming in the church, I was supposed to talk to that person about his physical body and say, hey, you need to pay attention on your physical body, man. And you know, and he was like, the Bible doesn't tell me to go to the gym or to eat less cookie. Where in the Bible is that? I wrote it in his Bible. No, it's not true. I was like, man, I mean, there's plenty of important verses for you to take care of your body. Like, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where God inhabits, where He lives, He dwells in there. So you better take care of the place where God dwells. But there's one that I said it, he's like, whoa, you're taking that out of context. And since then, I have made it my verse to talk about the physical aspect of life. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. A lot of people read this verse and it's like, and pass by them the importance of physical training there. Because Paul is trying to make a point to Timothy, like, hey, I'll make that point in a second. So here's what Paul is telling Timothy, right? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He says this, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. Right? This is a great verse to tell you that training your physical body is important. It is not because Paul says it has a limited benefit, because eventually you and I, we are all going to pass and God's going to give us a new body. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be good steward of the body that God has given you right here and right now. For the opposite of that, the word training there, what does it mean to train? Talk to me. What it means to train? Does it mean to go to the to do one exercise and be done with it? No, right? It is a regiment of what? Of exercises on a long period of time to what? To care for your body, right? Training, it is much more than just, I did a squat. Right? Or, here you go, I ran. No, there is a lifestyle that must take place within you, with you, so that you can train your body. the limited part, I read this verse to that guy. He's like, see, there's a limited benefit. I was like, yes, there's a limited benefit because we're not going to be found in the flesh like this forever. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, so we would live eternally with God. But there is a promise in 2 Thessalonians that we're going to have a new body, right? There's hope there because we know that our body is broken. But through physical training, we can be good stewards of that what God has given to us. But here's another thing, and another thing that Paul was trying to deal with back in the day that we need to deal it right here, right now. A lot of people make training of your body a sign of godliness. You have a six-pack. Oh, you're a godly guy. Like, I have a keg. That doesn't work, all right? And I'm a godly guy too, all right? Believe me. It's not about looks. So many times we make a health choice, health options about looks. Listen, it's not about looks. It's about being good steward of what God has given you, right? I remember reading about a ministry of a Christian physical education ministry. They talk about to being a man of God, you got to have muscles and you got to have six-pack. And I'm like, that's true. I'm in trouble, right? That's nothing to do with it. Godliness is something from the inside of us. It is an attitude. It is a lifestyle also where we put God first. So Paul is saying here, like, for training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way. So Paul is not discarding the fact that you need to train your body. What he's saying is this, is that if you have one of those 23-hour days, have you ever had those? 20-hour days, right? Because 24 is not enough. Like, we feel like, do you have 24 hours? And you wake up and it's like, whoa, 4 has gone already, right? 23-hour days, and have to choose between your personal devotion time and your workout, choose personal devotion. That's what Paul is saying. He's not saying neglect your physical body. He's just saying, if you have to choose between reading your Bible and praying and praying with someone else instead of running, go do that. Go pray. Go spend some time with God. But he never said neglect your body. I love how James put this. And it really kind of switched the mold here for me a little bit. James chapter 5, verse 7, verse 8. He says this, and I want to make a point on this here for you. He says this, for this reason, my brother and sister, be patient as you wait for the return of the Lord. Look, the farmer knows how to wait patiently for the land to produce vegetables and fruits. He cannot harvest a freshly planted seed. Instead, he waits for the early and the late showers to nourish the soil. You need this same kind of patience. So in the meantime, strengthen your resolve because the Lord will be coming soon. James is telling us here in a nutshell, accomplishing your resolutions, your goals, your resolve is a partnership between you and God. See, if you farm, if you know any farmer, you know this. There is a partnership between the farmer and God for what? For them to harvest a plant. It is not hard to discern that it's God's will for a plant to come up, right? It is not hard to discern that it is God's will for a plant to yield its fruits. As always, God has always planned that. You put a seed on the ground, be patient, and at the right time, a fruit is going to come up. It is God's will that would happen, right? So God has a will that any seed that comes, has put it in the ground, will its fruit. So the farmer, he waits patiently for the Lord to bring the growth. But it doesn't mean that he sits on the porch, looking on the ground, looking at the seeds, looking at the equipment, doing nothing, and waiting for the seeds to give fruits out. Is that how it works? A farmer sits there on his porch, and he looks from afar, and he sees all his farm, and he sees the seeds on his right, and he sees the equipment on his left, and then he's like, oh, eventually fruit's going to come up. No, he doesn't do that, right? The farmer works hard, tilling the ground, cultivating, watering, weeding, repairing the equipment, and completing all his daily chores. When a farmer does what he's supposed to do, God is able to do the things that only God can do. Let me give you a little jab here. When you do what you're supposed to do, God is able to do the things that only God can do. So a resolution not only starts into knowing God's will, it is participating in that will so that God can partner with you and bring in the results. Like the farmer, we must do what we need to do so that God can do only what he can do. And reality is that God is the only one who can produce good results in our lives. Let us not fool ourselves. God is the only one who can produce the good and the right results in our lives. We do the work, God brings the results. On first service, I was talking about this kid back in Jacksonville. Early in my ministry, I was young. He was young. Let's call him Joey. So if there's a Joey here, it's not you. He came into my office one day, and he's like, "Well, my goal for the year is to get a brand new wife." I was like, "What do you mean by that?" "Well, Pastor Sam, my wife, she gets on my case all the time. She don't let me do the things I'm supposed to do. We are not blessed at home. We don't have food. We had three kids. We don't have money to buy diapers. We don't have money for this. We don't have money for that." And I was like, I started feeling compassion towards the guy, right? That's life. So his wife is getting on him. And I was like, "Joey, where are you working?" "Well, I don't work." "Oh, you got one of God's blessings in your life. Are you pursuing a job?" "No, I'm not pursuing no job." "Oh, you want God's blessing to your life or you don't want to pursue a job?" "Oh, no. I believe in God's provision for my life." "Oh, okay. What do you do all day?" "Well, I'm on this video game club. I play Ghost Recon." And I was like, "Oh, you play Ghost Recon all day?" "Oh, yeah, it's 6 to 8 hours a day. I can make up to $10 an hour playing video game." And I'm thinking, that's a gig right there, right? And I was like, so where does the wife comes into? It's like, "Wow, she's on my case. She doesn't let me play video game all day. And I want to get the video game." And I'm thinking, how you want to be blessed by God by not doing your part? See, a lot of us want to be blessed by God, but we don't want to do our part. That was a silly example, but it's as silly as I can get to it. So you make the good one for me. I tell you silly illustrations so that you can come up with a good one for yourself. So many of us, we are so set out to, we are asking God, so we are like, God is our provider, our healer. He can help us on our relationships, on our marriage, in our professional life. But then we don't do our part. We don't have no integrity in our workplace. We don't love our spouse. We don't sacrifice ourselves to somebody else, right? We make silly and bad choices when choosing our boyfriend or girlfriend. We make a suicidal decision in our business, right? And we want God to bless us. Why not stopping and asking God, "What is it that you have for me? How can I be acquainted with your word so that when I make my plans, it comes out of what you have for me, not what I think it is best?" Because I don't know about you, but every time that I think I know what is best, it comes short. And so many times, so it leads to the last thing I'm going to talk to you about this morning. It's like, I am tired of people making only resolution that has to do with weight and exercise and money and relationship. I believe that a good resolution starts with the inner self, not with the outer self. I don't think a good resolution starts with the things you have and possess, but really with who you are and who you can become. And the only way you can become someone differently is if you do what Psalm 119 verse 11 tells you to do. Psalm 119 verse 11 says this, "I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. I think the best resolution comes to us when we start to change from the inside, and the best way to change from the inside out is by treasuring God's word. It's the only way. The word treasure there means to savor, to hide, to keep, to memorize. God's word has the power to change our hearts and our habits, for it contains the will of God to our life. I think so many of us, we are reading all kind of blogs and all kind of articles about how to make resolution, and God's saying, why not spend some time in my word so that the resolution you make in the future is consistent with what I have planned and wanted for your life. Here's the thing that you need to get it. You need to get this, and I think it's going to be up there for you. And if you're not, you got to write it down. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Do you get that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a good plan for your life? Can you trust God with your life? Can you trust God with the plan for your life? God has a wonderful plan for your life. And not to take His plan in consideration while making your plans is ludicrous. Let me tell you something important. The two of you, you and God, you both make a great team. Your determination with God's empowerment, man, you guys can accomplish a lot of things together. I love this quote from Thomas Fuller. Thomas Fuller said this: a strong will and a settled purpose and an invincible determination can accomplish almost anything. Almost anything. I was at a workshop with my staff this week, and the guy was showing how guys built up a light tower in the coast of Australia with and they only had 4 hours on the day to do that because the tides would come in. In 4 hours, they would work so hard. In those 4 hours, they created a tower in no time, like that. There is when we have when there is a will, there is a way. I do think that is a meaningful statement to be said. We have a lot of determination and purpose, we can accomplish a few things. But put that with God, look what Jeremiah 29:11 says: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." Listen, if you put all the determination and all the strength that you have and put that into working what God has for you, the sky is the limit. The two of you make a great team. What an empowering statement that must be for you and I to know that with God we can accomplish everything. The Bible tells us that with God nothing is impossible. Everything is possible. So often we think we are shaping our path alone. We live as though life is completely up to us. Yet, if we are in Christ, we are part of God's team. Let me finish the sermon reading Colossians 3:17. Colossians 3:17 says this: "Whatever you do, whatever plans you have, whatever goals you want to achieve, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, give it thanks to God the Father through Him." Who are you doing what you do for? All the things that you're doing, what are you doing for? Are you doing it for your spouse or for your kids or for yourself or for your boss? Who are you doing what you do? The Bible is clear that we, when we are in Christ, all the things that we do, whether it's in word or in deed, it is done for Jesus. That ought to change how you see life. We don't do it for others. you do it for God. Your goals that you want to achieve, the life that you want to change, it all must be because of God, not because of you and others. Maybe you're not being successful in your year's resolution in your life is because you're too worried about what everybody else thinks. Doing things based on what God has planned for you. And His will is good. His purpose for you is to prosper you and to see you live in great life. Let's pray. Jesus, as we resolve to achieve some things in our lives this 2019, help us to remember that we're uniquely made, that You love us, You love everything about us, but You don't want to see us remain the same. So we ought to pay attention in Your plans to our lives so that we can make goals and resolutions that is according to Your word, not according to our own will. So I pray, Father, that we'll spend more time in Your word, knowing what You say, so that we can see the goals being accomplished, lives been thriving and fruitful. It's in Your holy name.